In the corner, Marchessault up to the slot. Miller shooting. Knocked down and trickles into the goal. To rush up the left side. Nosek is in. He shoots and scores. Tomáš Nosek. On the right side wall, tipped out. Here's Carlson. He's got an unabetted path. Left circle. Carlson alone. He scores! All through his legs! Carlson! Shorthanded! 3-2 Knights! Oh, can you believe it? Faceoff won by Belmar. Puck to the corner. Cleared out of the zone. And that's it! The Knights win the Pacific Division in their inaugural season.
And welcome in a good Friday, game day Friday, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman back in the studios, Ari Platinum here with us as we are once again high above T-Mobile Arena in the Hyde Lounge getting ready for game four tonight. And, hopefully game four will mean that game five won't be the pivotal game five, but a lot to get to and a lot of excitement here and a little cool in the arena right now. A lot calmer than it will be in just a couple hours.
Yeah, nice and quiet right now. They've just finished up rehearsal for the pregame festivities, so hopefully we will make it the entire hour without too much distraction.
Yeah, and of course they've been rehearsing all the time, anyhow. So, but you know they like to tweak things a little bit here. And you know, Ryan, it's interesting because the last game, and I've heard other shows talking about it on a national stage and a national stage too, because it seems like a lot of people are seeing the Vegas Golden Knights and they're opening everything, and you hear everything from wow, that was really cool to wow, that was really cheesy and annoying or something like that. But you know what? We're Vegas, and we've got to do things a little bit different and throw a little different flair on it and everything like that. I have no problems whatsoever with it. If it wasn't there, it wouldn't affect me. But the fact that it is there and people like it and everything like that, all I do know is that when the Winnipeg press and all their people were up here the last game, everybody was watching.
Yeah, I mean, who cares, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Vegas is known to be unique. Vegas is an entertainment capital of the world, and if you come to a hockey game and you see the same thing that you'll see in L.A. or you see the same thing that you'll see at Madison Square Garden, then Vegas is doing it wrong. Vegas isn't doing it wrong. They're doing it right. They're inventive. They're thinking about what ways can we showcase the teams we're playing against but also put our own unique flair on it. I thought the pregame show was interesting. It was fun. There were a few things that maybe I wouldn't have done personally, but to be honest with you, it fired the crowd up. It did what it was supposed to do, and it takes you out of that element where you're saying, oh, I'm just at another boring hockey game. I'm at another crazy hockey game. No, you're at a show. You're in a unique market. You're in Vegas at a hockey game.
One of the things that I liked was during the national anthem, the Canadian version, when Carnell Johnson paused to allow the Winnipeg fans who were here to yell True North as they do. And that really epitomizes to me at least who Vegas is. We are a welcoming crowd. We want you to come here. We want you to have fun. It's a hockey game. Who cares if you're in our barn? We're not going to be Philadelphia and throw things at you.
Well, we're not
welcome.
Gonna
come be part of the party. And I thought that his sort of symbolic welcoming of folks to cheer on their team is emblematic of who Vegas is.
Well, that's what we love about his rendition of the Star Spangled Banner is that he pauses and lets night breathe, right? So I think it was a great choice by Carnell Johnson, Golden Pipes, to let that True North breathe a little bit. And I think you're right. I mean, I was up in San Jose. The fans in San Jose booed to preemptively stop the night chant. Like, it's ridiculous that you would boo the national anthem just so that the fans from the opposition that came here can't have their moment during the national anthem. It's a little weird. It's a little ridiculous. But, yeah, I mean, this place thrives when there's a little bit of hostility in the crowd, when the opposition fans are a little loud and a little rowdy, and they want to show their support, and then the Vegas fans give it right back. I think the having the split there really makes this building unique and different.
Yeah, absolutely. And T-Mobile, and we know it's going to be rocking, so come on down. Like we had said before, too, and I know Kerry Buchholz and the rest of the Vegas Golden Knights front office, that they wanted us to remind people, if you can get out of work early, get down here as soon as you can. There's a lot of stuff going on in town. There's going to be a lot of people down here. It's the start of a very busy weekend, so get here, take part of all the festivities out there, because it's going to be raucous inside, but it's going to be crazy insane outside as well.
And by the way, I actually got into the building with the Golden Knights, and I survived, so already I'm better than the Winnipeg Jets.
Wow.
Ooh. All right. Throwing a little shade.
Yeah, a little preemptive shade there.
Well, I guess like with the preemptive shade, we need to take a look at the preview of Game 4.
All right, our game preview brought to you by Findlay Honda North. Happy Hondas happen here. Findlay True North Honda at the Northwest at Centennial Hills.
All right, well, Game 4, and certainly – well, the big story in the last game, and yes, Jonathan Marchessault has been absolutely incredible the last two games. He's been one of, if not the best player on the ice, that's not a goaltender. Because Marc-Andre Fleury is doing what he does once again. What he did in the third period, I think even more impressive than what Andre Vasilevskiy did last night for the Tampa Bay Lightning, and he was incredible. But Fleury is just at a different level right now, arguably playing the best that he has played in his entire career, and probably looser and happier than anybody on the ice. You would not know, if you were watching this, the difference between him at City National Arena when he's messing around and having fun with the guys out there, than in the last game, Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. This guy is such a calming influence, but so darn good at the same time. If you're his teammate, you're going, ah, that's just Flower. We love him, and you play for him. And if you're the other team, you're like, what the heck? This is Game 3. We're in the Western Conference Finals, and this guy's out here. He's rubbing people's ears. He's rubbing posts. He's dancing. He's smiling. He's waving at the kids. Marc-Andre Fleury is just a whole different level player.
We saw that again today at City National Arena. We saw it before Game 3 when he saw some old friends from French television in Canada, called them over, talked to them on game day. We saw it the same today with Jason Mackey of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He saw him in the locker room, hadn't seen him in a while, pulled him over, just talked not about hockey, not about the game, not anything for his story, just wanted to know how Jason and his family was doing, and that's the way Marc-Andre Fleury is. Game day, not game day. Same character.
And not only how Jason was doing, but also how's the city of Pittsburgh doing? Mm-hmm. How's my playground working out there? How's everything else out there? Hey, maybe, I don't know, I didn't hear the conversation because I wasn't eavesdropping, but maybe he asked him if Sid and Malkin are on the golf course yet already or something. I'm not sure, because it's not, you know, it's funny because now as much as he's asking about Pittsburgh and it's cool that Jason Mackey's out here, now it's kind of like we've got a whole new fan base too, because everybody in Pittsburgh has got to be rooting for Marc-Andre Fleury to get the three-peat.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that, right? He's beloved there, and I don't think that a large contingent of people in Pittsburgh really wanted him to go. I think he was an easy scapegoat when they weren't winning championships, and they had Sid and Malkin, and they had shortcomings on defense that weren't really addressed, and then they addressed him, and Matt Murray came into a really good situation where he had the ability to rely on Marc-Andre Fleury and the battles that he had gone through his entire career, from a starting goalie to a Stanley Cup losing goalie to a Stanley Cup winning goalie to a guy that then had questions about whether or not he could win in the playoffs. Let's sit back and think about how ridiculous that is. He won a Stanley Cup, went to two consecutive finals. 2008, they lost. 2009, they won. And then after that, after winning a Stanley Cup, there are questions about whether or not he is a good goalie in the playoffs. It blows my mind, but that just shows you how much Pittsburgh expects to win. Then you come here, Marc-Andre Fleury is in the absence of expectations this year. And what's he do? Has the greatest statistical year of his entire career, and he's bringing that into the playoffs. Where the pressure is mounting, he is so confident in what he has become over the course of this year, what his team is, and he knows he's got the confidence of his coaching staff. He knows Gerard Gallant's always going to go to him number one. Dave Pryor's going to go to him number one. He doesn't have to worry about somebody trying to take his job in the middle of the playoffs. And what's it done? It's revitalized him. It has made him into the goalie everyone expected him to be when he was drafted number one overall.
And again, this is a guy who, I understand why Pittsburgh did what they did. They had to do it. You can't pay both two starting goalies. And Marc-Andre Fleury is a starting goaltender. He deserved a chance to go someplace else. Not sure that they thought that he was going to have this kind of success. But we've talked about it before, Clayton, and I honestly believe, and it wasn't just something because we've gotten to know Flower and we like him as a person and just respect the heck out of him on the ice. I really think that Matt Murray missed Marc-Andre Fleury for the locker room stuff, for being his mentor, the tutelage and everything else out there, and knowing that if things were kind of crashing around a little bit, that he could pick his brain, but also had him as that backup to maybe reevaluate things and get ready again. Marc-Andre Fleury seems to flourish. Not that he's glad that Matt Murray's not around anymore, but he knows that now he doesn't have to worry about, hey, if I have a bad game, all of a sudden I'm out, and when do I get back in or something like that. Fleury misses Matt Murray on the ice more than Matt Murray misses Fleury.
Yeah, and I think that we talked a little bit off air yesterday about what those conversations must have been like in Pittsburgh. And you can understand they could only protect one goaltender, and it had to be either Fleury or Matt Murray. They went with the youth. They went with the less of a contract. But you wonder, Ryan, if perhaps there were conversations or there was a holdout or one or two people that said, hey, listen, I know it doesn't seem like the right idea on paper, but maybe for the next 3 years would be better off with Fleury. You wonder if there was at least that inkling or that thought, or if it was writing on the wall from the very beginning. But I bet those conversations, at least when it came to that, would have been fun to listen to.
Yeah, it'd have been fun to see if anybody stuck up for Marc-Andre Fleury. I don't know that anybody would, though. I mean, it doesn't really make sense from a business standpoint. You have a goalie that has won two Stanley Cups, Matt Murray, as a rookie. As a rookie, he won two Stanley Cups. It's weird how that works out, but the NHL's funny that way. He's younger. You don't have to pay him as much. It's just good business, right? It's good business to go with the younger, cheaper, established option. Now, if it was a goalie that wasn't established, obviously you go with the guy that got you to the dance in Marc-Andre Fleury. But, I mean, it was the right move for Pittsburgh. It just turned out to be the wrong move in retrospect.
And but you wonder if they had any inkling or any thought of making a deal on the side. And it probably would have been a pretty hefty price, but, you know, we always hear, you know, George McPhee said there were 8 of 9 that they tried to get a deal with, and you wonder who that ninth team was. Was it Tampa? Was it Pittsburgh? Was it someone else? But it probably would have said it would have cost them something, but I wonder if that's a conversation they even entertained.
Well, Pittsburgh didn't get anything, but Vegas did. Vegas got a draft pick to select Marc-Andre Fleury, so makes you really wonder what they were doing there. But, you know, again, nobody could have imagined that Marc-Andre Fleury was going to have this year, except for maybe Dave Pryor, who has said, and George McPhee let us know, George saw something in Marc-Andre that led him to believe he could make him better. And the statistics will tell you this year, Marc-Andre Fleury is a better goalie than he's ever been at any point in his in his career.
And along with Dave Pryor, Marc-Andre Fleury was the other person that thought that he would have this kind of year.
Well,
that guy
true.
Has
yeah.
that quiet confidence and everything around him that is just incredible. I mean, there's leaders in a lot of different ways. He leads differently. He's not a rah-rah jump-up-and-down guy, but he leads so much. And when he's out there, you know, playing paddleball with the puck and rubbing the post and doing everything else out there, you have to smile and laugh. It's like Nate Schmidt said, yeah, we're in the Western Conference Finals, but we're having fun.
Yeah, I mean, nobody expected them to be here, right? And you know, their expectations have changed over the course of the year. It's been well documented. We don't necessarily need to rehash that, but you're here. Like, you don't know when you're going to come back. You have no idea when your next shot to be in the Western Conference Finals or to play for a Stanley Cup are going to come. So you might as well take advantage of it. And part of that is having fun, because what is hockey? It's a game. And if it's not fun, you're not doing it right.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're talking about Marc-Andre Fleury and the career year that he's having statistically. Well, a guy who certainly has much better statistics than he had before, because now he's set up for success and he's making the most of it probably more than any other Golden Knight out there. Wild Bill William Karlsson had a chance to catch up with him the other day at City National Arena. Here's Wild Bill.
William, a little bit of a different series than the San Jose series, but what kinds of things are they doing to really give you guys a little bit of a problem there in that first line?
No, they're very quick. They're strong and they're really good on the puck. So it's always a challenge when that line is on the ice. So I mean, you got to be aware of all time.
This team always seems to respond when their backs are against the wall. Do you kind of enjoy having that pressure on you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this time of year, it's always that pressure. And I mean, the goal we got right after they scored was huge, and I think that's why we won the game.
Jonathan Marchessault's play in this series has really been something. He kind of put the target on his back after game one, and he's responded with four goals. Can you just talk about his play in this series so far?
No, yeah, the guy's hot. He's been leading the way for sure. Yeah, it's just for us to follow him, and he's a great leader right now, and he's playing really well.
Fleury's saves in the third period there really kind of changed the momentum of that period. What did you think about those when you saw him making those two saves?
I mean, they were. It saved us for sure. Two grade A chances, and he came up big. But that's the way he is, and he saved the game for us in the third.
That was William Carlson up at City National Arena. Thanks to Chris Chapman for that. But, always calm and relaxed. You would never know you're in the Western Conference Finals with William Carlson.
No, absolutely not. And pretty much the whole team is like that. And, again, from Gerard Gallant to George McPhee to the players on the ice to Marc-Andre Fleury, the calmness and coolness about this team, it's pretty crazy. I kind of understand Fleury because he's got three championships. The other guys that don't. I don't understand how they're so calm, but again, maybe it is just because they're having fun and because they continue to play for and with each other. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, live from Hyde Lounge. Frank Harness, Clayton Hamilton, Ron the Hockey Guy Wallace, and let's go to the Southern Hills Baptist Church phone line right now. Experience life change at southernhillslv.com. And joining us, Winnipeg Jets play-by-play man Brian Munns with us. Brian, thanks for making some time and joining us today.
Anytime, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing really good, thanks. And, game four. I know that you've been covering the Jets all year long. What do you look at with this team here? Obviously, game four is a huge game. You've seen this team all year. How do you expect them to bounce back? Because they're not used to losing two in a row, let alone three in a row.
Yeah, no, it's been a first to see the club draw back-to-back games in the Stanley Cup playoffs for sure. No credit there, no question about it. But you know what? They're a pretty confident group based on the postseason they've had, the regular season they've been able to put together. They were the number two team in the entire league for a reason here. So being at the pregame skate this morning and talking to a number of the players involved, they're looking forward to the challenge that presents here tonight and should be in for an outstanding hockey game for sure.
You know, one of the things I wanted to ask was really as it pertains to Connor Hellebuyck and playing the puck outside of his goal crease. Is that just something that seems to be indecisive in his game right now? Is he usually the type of guy that goes back there, knows what he wants to do, and makes the right read? Or is this just kind of what Connor Hellebuyck is?
I think it's getting overblown, to be honest with you. He made one mistake and it ended up in the back of the net, and give those guys credit for the eye-hand coordination to knock down the puck and be able to make the play. So in talking to Connor, even post-game and then yesterday again, doesn't seem too concerned about it by any means. It's something that just kind of happened in that game, and he's moving forward. So I don't think it's something that is on his mind now on game day or anything like that he's not going to go out and play the puck. There's some goalies, obviously, that are better than others. But, I don't think it's too much of an issue for him getting ready for game four here tonight at all.
I know one of the guys that some people think is maybe underachieving, but he said he's not going to change anything in his game. Patrick Laine, who's certainly one of the young snipers in the league and a great goal scorer out there, maybe not having the success that he'd like to at this point here, but he said basically he's just going to keep on working hard and playing hard, and he thinks that things will come together for him at a certain point in the games here. What have you made of Laine's play watching him throughout, and do you think he needs to tweak or change something, or is he just not getting that puck luck right now?
Yeah, I think right now it's just a matter of it going in for him. Again, when you watch what he does during the season, and he's one of those guys that scores big goals in big games at big times, and the talent that he is, every time he has the puck on his stick, he thinks it's going to go on the net. Like, that's how confident he is in his abilities, and who are we to kind of question him with the success that he's had here in his first couple of seasons of NHL hockey right now? So I don't think he's too concerned with it. I know he'd love to get one here tonight. And at the end of the day, the team has had a lot of scoring all the way through. And Mark Scheifele continues to lead the league right now in postseason goals. And he's done a terrific job, especially outside of Bell MCS plays, with all the goals that he's been able to score on the road here right now. So I think, you know, everybody would like to see Patrick have a few more goals than he does at this point, but the good thing about NHL hockey, and you guys are learning this as the year goes on, that, you know, it's not only one player, it's everybody, and if you can have, you know, different guys scoring on different nights, it gives your team a better chance to win.
One of the guys that did that for you was Paul Stastny. We loved this move for Winnipeg when it happened at the trade deadline. What did you see in him when he first arrived versus what he is right now that's really made him fit in with this group?
Well, I think the big thing, guys, is he is what you expected him to be. Whether he was a member of the Colorado Avalanche or the St. Louis Blues, you know, Paul Stastny is one of the best two-way players in the league. So the opportunity to add a veteran player that's got that kind of experience and knowledge of the game both on and off the ice into a room that was already as good as what Winnipeg is, it was a home run move by general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff, and really a reason why he's in the top three right now for general manager of the year here along with George McPhee and Steve Yzerman. So I think the addition of Paul, and for Joe Morrow as well to come in on the blue line, a depth defenseman that they ended up needing a lot during the regular season, with some injuries to some of the others. You know, at the trade deadline, Kevin Cheveldayoff did just a terrific job in building the lineup that they wanted here right now. So Paul's been a big piece to it here, and, you know, he's a guy that's on the ice with Patrick Laine all the time, and we'll find out at game time here tonight if Nikolaj Ehlers is going to play or not, and if he does, I would expect that he would draw back in to that spot on the number two line. So, as we mentioned earlier on, the Jets have really good depth, and again, that's the reason why they were the number two team in the NHL during the regular season, and a reason why they believe that they can win this game here tonight is because of the depth they have.
I know you touched on Mark Scheifele a little bit earlier, but I would want to just mention what he's doing in the playoffs right now is absolutely incredible, and he's on pace to potentially set some records that have been around for a long, long time. You see him on a day-to-day basis throughout the season. How good is he, and is he maybe a little bit under, I don't want to say appreciated, but maybe doesn't get the recognition that he deserves up in Winnipeg, because everybody talks about McDavid and Ovechkin and other guys in the league, Kucherov, and rightly so, but Mark Scheifele, and I believe that Paul Maurice had talked about it, said that if he was someplace else, he might be one of the top guys, you know, for the MVP every year.
Yeah, I think you're bang on. You know, Mark's game has really grown here over the last 2 to 3 years. And people in Canada know who he is. I think it's just the idea that, you know, for the first time, this is year 7 now of the Winnipeg Jets, and it's the first time that NBC and some of the U.S. networks are really, you know, paying attention to what Winnipeg's doing just because of the geographic, you know, change between where Winnipeg is and the majority of games that they show. So I think for the American fan, they're getting a really good opportunity to see a guy that kind of has flown under the radar because of where the team is that he's located. But he is a special talent, there's no question. And the fun thing about Mark Scheifele for you guys is you can go into Mark and you can say, hey, how about the Vegas Golden Knights? What are they doing right now? And you can ask him that question in November or March, and he can give you the 100% scouting report on not only the Golden Knights but every other team. He's one of those hockey nerds that just lives and dies by anything that's going on in hockey. And, you know, he's put a lot into it. He's invested a lot of time into it, both at the rink and away from the arena as well. And, you know, he's a special player. There's no doubt about it. And right now, again, we'll get a chance to see him tonight here and see what he can do.
And looking at that, what does Winnipeg have to do in order to get a win here in Game 4? A lot of Vegas' goals the last couple of games have come off turnovers, off the rush in transition. What does Winnipeg have to do to minimize that?
Well, I'll give Vegas credit. They've played a good series so far. There's no doubt about it. You know, they can knock down pucks, and the skill players they have, especially that top line of, you know, Marchessault and what Carlson and Smith have been able to do. You know, those guys have had the success they've had for a reason as well. They're good hockey players. So, you know, it's a matchup here for Winnipeg that you know, I think is going to come down to game 6-7 at the end of the series here. And at the end of the day, you hope the best team that's played well is the one that comes out on top. But I think overall for the Jets, you know, they just need to be aware of that puck management between the tops of the faceoff circle from their own zone and into the opposition end. And in reality, they need to get a little bit more traffic in front of Marc-Andre Fleury, because we've seen some brilliant saves that he's made, including a couple of dynamite stops in Game 3, but he's been able to see it for the most part all the way through as well. So the old cliche, I guess, is they could take away his eyes, it gives you a better opportunity to score. So I would look at those as a couple things anyway coming into game four here tonight for the Jets.
One other guy that I do want to ask you about quickly here, and we do appreciate your time here today, Brian, Dustin Byfuglien. I remember as a Blackhawk fan watching him help the Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup years ago. He's been up in Winnipeg for a while. I still check him out whenever I get the opportunity. Is there a more skilled big man in the game? Because he's big, he's strong, he's fast, he's got a deadly shot, he's an intelligent player. And, of course, in Chicago we played on the offense. Now he's playing on the defense. He seems very versatile as well. What does he mean to this team and what does he bring to them?
Yeah, there is no other Dustin Byfuglien in the NHL. There's no question about that. And, you know, the fun thing about Buff is he's such a fun guy to be around as well. When the game's not on, he really keeps that dressing room loose. And he's one of those great team guys that, you know, whether it's a young guy or a guy that's in his second season or it's a player that's been around the league for 10 years, you see him with all different, you know, members of the organization there. So he really is a good glue guy for the Winnipeg Jets Hockey Club. But you mentioned it, you know, he can play the game any way you want. And he's so large. Even the scrum there in game three, you saw, he had a couple of golden knights by the back of the neck of their jerseys. And he was playing the role of a third linesman there just to kind of keep the game at bay and not have anything going. You know, he's just a special, unique talent that, you know, there's no question we're pretty excited to see wear a Jets jersey for sure.
All right, well, we certainly do appreciate the time. Where can people find your stuff and listen to your broadcast?
Well, down here, I guess you'd have to do it on the Internet, or unless you're standing in the booth beside us. TSN1290.ca is the Canadian website for it. But, yeah, you know what? We're excited to be down here and looking forward to this, and hopefully see you back for Game 6.
All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate the time. Brian Munns there, play-by-play radio for the Winnipeg Jets. And, you know, Winnipeg, one of those teams, maybe not as well known because they're not on TV all the time and they're not in the so-called bigger markets, Toronto or Montreal or Edmonton with Connor McDavid and everything because of all the recognition that they get. But I'll tell you what, a quality team and a city that really loves their club, because remember, they had the club and then lost it and got it back, and they're so happy. And the white stuff that they do is pretty darn cool.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a chance to get up to Winnipeg, but Chris Chapman did, and he told me that it was phenomenal and a great, great experience and a great arena and a community and everything. So, you know, you like to see that. You like to see those quote-unquote smaller markets survive, right? And Winnipeg is on the right track to not only be good now but be good for quite a while in much the same way it looks like Vegas is set up.
And just from a pure hockey standpoint, rivalries aside and whatnot, just a fun team to watch. A lot of high-quality players, and on a nightly basis during the regular season, good entertainment value.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, when we come back, we got some more player interviews we're going to get to. We're going to look at tonight's game a little bit more in depth. Also tell you what's going on in the Eastern Conference Finals, and a lot more to get to here. Game day, we are down here at Hyde Lounge inside T-Mobile Arena. The calm before the storm, I guess you could say. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, live from Hyde Lounge inside T-Mobile Arena, high up atop. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman back in the studios, Ari Platinum here as well, hitting the dials and making sure that everything sounds correct on the air. And guys, game four tonight, I know we took some looks at it, but Mark Scheifele's been absolutely incredible, and Jonathan Marchessault on the other side. I guess you could say that these two guys are not only leading their teams, but they're approaching record-breaking instances here for the 100-year history of the NHL and the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, I think Marchessault needs just one more point to have sole possession of most points by a player in his team's first postseason. I believe that's
one to tie and two to take over.
One to tie, two to take over. So he's right there. And I mean, he's playing himself into Conn Smythe consideration. And when you have Marc-Andre Fleury on your team having the playoffs that he's having, that's saying something about what you're doing right now.
Frank, we do have a little bit of breaking news happening right now. Frank Saravelli from TSN Canada is reporting that Nikolaj Ehlers will play tonight. He's the only one that's reporting that. No one is reporting that he's not, but he's the only one reporting He will play tonight, that coming down just now from TSN Canada. So if you have any thoughts on that, you can always text us, interact with the show via the text line brought to you by Southern Hills Baptist Church, where inspiring music, helpful teaching, and friendly people will always make you feel welcome. Text us at 69187, preface with Fox. Don't forget to put your name in. Let us know your thoughts on tonight's game.
Yeah, and on the other side of the register, Gerard Gallant hinted today earlier that David Perron may be in the lineup tonight for the Vegas Golden Knights. No official word on that. I know they're going to say wait until the guys skate, but I have a feeling that Perron will be back in there, which is interesting because obviously he's a great player and he's been a big part of the success of this team throughout the course of the season. But Turk not necessarily, really chomping at the bid to change things when the team is going well and they have won the last two games, but I still think Perron is going to stretch in there.
And Perron and Ehlers both diagnosed with an illness is the reason that they were not in those lineups, not an injury. So both Ehlers and Perron, illness given, is the reason they were out last time out.
And it'll be interesting to see who comes out when Perron comes in, because Tomáš Tatar was pretty noticeable in the win up in Winnipeg. He was noticeable for about a period and a half here on Wednesday, but then he kind of wasn't noticeable at all after that. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see if it's going to be Carpenter, Eakin, Tuck on that third line, if it's going to stay Nosek, Belmar, and Reeves. And again, we've talked about this ad nauseum. Turk is not afraid to bench a guy or sit a guy or healthy scratch a guy that has the skill of Tomáš Tatar because he doesn't fit the mold of what he's looking for on the third and fourth line.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mentioned before, too, about what Shifley's been doing right now. Registering his 10th and 11th road goals in Game 3 sets the single-year NHL postseason record. He has scored in six straight games as a visitor, dating back to the first round. He also leads the playoffs with 14 goals overall. The last time that a player had more goals in a single postseason was Sidney Crosby of the Penguins in 2009 when he had 15. By the way, that was throughout the Stanley Cup Finals. Shifley's done all this going into Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, he's a heck of a player. He really is. And, I mean, realistically, he probably should have had four goals on Wednesday, right? So it's amazing considering how many chances he's getting, just how good he is and how good Marc-Andre Fleury is.
All right, so let's cut right to it because we want to talk about the East a little bit here. What do you guys make of tonight? I mean, I have a good feeling about it, but I do think Winnipeg is going to come out and give everything they have right off the bat. We know Marc-Andre Fleury is going to be ready for it. The team will be ready for it. Is being ready for it enough? It's amazing here, and again, we've seen the ebbs and flows throughout the entire season, the roller coaster ride that this has been. It's like all of a sudden it seems like everybody I talk to on the street, especially the novice fans that are just getting into hockey for the first time, they're already looking to see who they want to play in the finals. It's like, pump the brakes a little bit. I love the enthusiasm, but this thing is far from over, isn't it? Or am I wrong?
There's a lot to play for. But one of the things I think is different about this Winnipeg team, and I'm curious to see what you think about this, Ryan, is that you think when there's a chance that it could go 3-1, that there's an opportunity, you get up early or things go well for the first half of the game for the Knights. There are clubs, and the Anaheim Ducks come to mind, that might check out. But I don't think that there's any quit in this Winnipeg team. And we've seen that when they're down in Game 2. We saw it again in Game 3 that they believe, it doesn't matter if they're down 2, down 3, that they have an opportunity to come back. So I don't think we're going to hit that switch where they, at any point in this series, give up.
No, I don't think so. And I'm trying to remember if it was Game 3 or Game 4 of their previous series with the Nashville Predators where they were down 3-0 going into the second period, and then within 4 minutes, it was 3-3. Winnipeg went on to win that game, and they really took control of that series. And I don't think there's any quit in Winnipeg either. And again, I just think it's because they're so balanced from top to bottom, from first line to fourth line. But it's not just the balance of scoring. It's the balance of how they can play the game, how many different ways they can beat you. We've talked about their cycle down low. They can really make life difficult for the defensemen and for the forwards trying to sort out coverage in the defensive zone for the Golden Knights. Or they can force turnovers at their own blue line and go two passes in the zone, in transition, scoring on 3-on-2, scoring on 2-on-1s. They're so good at so many different styles of hockey that I think they're a team that doesn't necessarily believe they're out of any game, because if they can just get one, they'll get two. If they can get two, they'll get three. They have supreme confidence in themselves. I don't think the Connor Hellebuck stuff is overblown. And what he said after the game on Wednesday was this: I like my game better, meaning he likes how he's playing better than Marc-Andre Fleury. I don't buy it. I don't know why you would say that when you just lost the game. It doesn't make sense, especially when Flowers making ridiculous save after ridiculous save. But I think Connor Hellebuck's a little bit fragile right now. And I think that's advantage Golden Knights, because if they come out and they can jump on this team early like they did on Wednesday, it may just be too big of a hill to climb.
Yeah, and I agree with that, too. And the other thing about it, too, I think he's saying something like that because he's trying to convince himself of it and show that he's confident and show his teammates that he's confident as well. But I don't know how you can look at the other end of the ice and see what Marc-Andre Fleury's doing, and then you know that they watch game film and that you see afterwards, yeah, he's definitely not playing as well as Marc-Andre Fleury right now, and that's why Vegas is up 2-1. But I understand why he wants to be confident there. But again, like you had talked about, this is a team that won 3 games in Nashville the last series. They're not going to be intimidated coming in here. They've been here before. They've been behind in a series before. They just came back and won a Game 7 after blowing what could have been a clinching game at home. So, yeah, they're not going to quit. They're going to give everything they have as you would expect them to. By the way, interesting, at this point of the season, in the playoffs this year or in the postseason, road teams are 40-34. So the home ice advantage thus far, well, so far they're getting 6 games below 500 for the home teams out there. Now, I know those are just stats and things like that, and we've talked about it before. Well, why don't they win as often as they do in the regular season? Well, because you're playing good teams every time out there, and sometimes a team goes on the road and they get more unified, they bandy together, there's a little bit more symmetry, us against the world, all that kind of stuff. But the home teams also, they know these stats, and you think they come out. I just hope that Vegas comes out tonight with that same attitude that they did in games 2 and 3, thinking it's a must-win game. Because this isn't a must-win game technically, but you don't want to give Winnipeg that momentum and get them right back in and make it a best of three with 2 out of 3 in Winnipeg.
You know, it's funny that you bring up the road teams and their issues so far this year in the postseason. Marty St. Louis tweeted out after Tampa lost game 2 at home, "I liked playing on the road better because our coach would abandon making the line matchups." Because if you're the road coach, you don't have a say in it, you can't do it. So what do? You put your best lines out there and you just hope that they can get it done. And I think in the case of Tampa and Washington, why neither one of those teams has won a game at home in their series, it's because they're worrying too much about matching lines. Winnipeg is good on the road. Winnipeg is good at home. Vegas is good on the road. Vegas is good at home. Why? They don't worry about matching up lines. They really don't. Gerard Gallant likes to get McNabb and Schmidt out against the top line. And if you're just matching a defensive pairing against a line, it's a lot easier than really trying to get your, quote, checking line, which is a thing that should be foreign in today's NHL because everybody can play. I don't really get coaches that still match lines. Roll 4 lines, believe in your depth, believe in your guys to go out there and make a difference every single time they get on the ice, and just let them play.
And part of that is you don't have those defensive liabilities like an Alexander Ovechkin that you have to worry about whether or not they're going to back check. You don't back check for Gerard Gallant, you don't play. Same goes for Paul Maurice. These are two teams that take offense and defense just as seriously, and you don't lose a lot with your elite scorers on the defensive side.
And you mentioned Alexander Ovechkin, and I did want to touch on that with a couple minutes here about that series as well. 2-2 now in the East. All the Washington Capitol fans are freaking out saying, is this going to happen again? We've told you before that the team that wins the first 2 games on the road, well, historically they still have a pretty good percentage, but the team, Washington's done it twice in their history. They lost both times to the Penguins in 96 and 2003 to the very same Tampa Bay Lightnings. The Eastern Conference Finals marks the 6th series in the last 10 years and 2nd of this year's Stanley Cup playoffs in which the road team has won each of the first 4 games. So it's not as unusual as people might think, because you think home ice advantage. Well, it so far has been home ice disadvantage. Who gets it together? If I'm Washington, I'm very nervous right now too, but I'm not nervous because of those stats and the fact that, oh, we're going home, we got to be afraid now. What I'm nervous about is Andrei Vasilevskiy is playing like he's capable of and not like he did in the first 2 games.
No, I mean, and I don't even think he was bad really in the first 2 games. Maybe the 2nd game more than the first, but Andrei Vasilevskiy is a good goalie. He's a big goalie. He's got good movement. He has pretty good fundamentals, except for the fact that he's a little unorthodox, but that's fine. If I'm Washington, I'm worried. I really am, because you had a stranglehold. And just think of it from this perspective. In round one, Columbus went into Washington. They won both of those two games. And then they went home. They lost the next two games at home. And then they were eliminated in six. So coming home with a 2-0 lead and squandering that with 2 games on home ice is not a good thing. It's not a good thing for the Washington Capitals.
Well, we're going to find out if Barry Trotz is like Jonathan Marchessault or Drew Doughty, because he has come out and said that Washington will win this next game. They've already won twice in Tampa Bay. They can do it again. Will he be right? Will he be wrong? The bottom line is, what's he going to say?
Where are you, Philip Grubauer? That's what he's going to say.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not going to put it on Braden Holtby, but boy, Vasilevskiy was just incredible the last game. All right, we come back. We're going to take a look. Believe it or not, there's other hockey going around the world as well, and World Championships. I know we've been all watching that a little bit as well. We'll let you know what's going on with that. There's no games today, but there are some games coming up tomorrow, and some of the familiar faces in there. Once again, we'll wrap it up here on a Game Day Friday. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, live from the Hyde Lounge inside T-Mobile Arena. Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights. Welcome back. Wrapping it up here on a Game Day Friday. Golden Knights Insider Show.
Knights.
What the heck was that? All of a sudden, I became Monty Python or
nice.
Something.
Good.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman back in the studio, Ari Platinum here as well. And before we tell you about the World Championships, there was a text the other day that came in.
Yeah, it came in late after we were off of the air. We were talking about the 90-pound chocolate Marc-Andre Fleury at the Bellagio. We got a text from friend of the show, Fernando, who said, there is no more chocolate Marc-Andre Fleury. I think Adam Hill ate it.
So there you go. I guess they didn't have gummy bears, so the Marc-Andre Fleury is now gone from the – but I believe it's actually still there.
It is still there. No, we kid, because Adam loves – he loves the sweets during the game.
He loves the sweets, and
it's the center of his texting.
And
he
wasn't really high on the chocolate Marc-Andre Fleury originally.
Right. I wonder if Adam likes the chocolate gummy bears.
I don't know. I wonder if he'd like gummy bears on his Marc-Andre Fleury.
I don't know.
Hey, Chapman, how was the gummy bear Slurpee?
It tasted like honeydew.
That's awful.
It actually wasn't too bad.
Sounds pretty awful to me.
It's a Canadian thing. That and ketchup potato chips up in Winnipeg.
Well, you know, another Canadian thing? Winning hockey games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Team Canada, although they struggled a little bit maybe in the earlier rounds, they will be playing Switzerland tomorrow at 10:15 a.m. Canada is listed as the home team in the World Championships. And could we see a repeat of the first round of the championships, as Team USA will be taking on Sweden, 6:15 a.m. Pacific time out here. So USA, Sweden, Switzerland at Canada to figure out who will be in the finals for the World Championships.
Ryan, we saw the Golden Knights when they had the little break, had little 2-on-2. If they recreate the semifinal 2-on-2, Golden Knight versus Golden Knight, Carlson and Lindbergh versus Tuck and Carpenter, who are you going to take in the 2-on-2 replication of the semifinal?
Oh, I'm taking Tuck and Carpy for sure. For sure. You got to have some pride in your country, right?
I would do this with the Swiss team, but we only have one Swiss member, and Lucas Beasy would have to play by himself against Canada. So I guess.
I mean, he's a man among boys.
That's true. Is, okay, so. What about the shootout then? Spezza versus Fleury.
Oh, God, it's Fleury.
Fleury all the way. Yeah. Tough one for Luca.
The only one that's better in shootouts than Fleury is maybe Malcolm Subban, who's never been scored on in a shootout.
That's true. Either way, both of them can play for Canada.
There you go. Looking pretty good. All right, T.C. Martin's coming up next live from the Cosmopolitan. For Clayton, for Ryan, for Chris, for Ari, I'm Frank. We'll talk to you Monday. Vegas Golden Knights, remember, pregame today at 4:30 right here on Fox Sports Radio.